there by himself.
Memorials. How many of you know what memorials are for? You know, we make monuments, we make statues, we have written declarations and accounts or of events that have happened, but memorials are there to remind us of things that are important to us as a people. You know, the events and the lives of those that were involved. The Bible is full of memorials. This is a document of memorials. And this morning I want to share one with you. If you will, I'll ask that you stand with me this morning in honor of God's Word. We're going to be reading from Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, and I'll begin in verse number 6. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him having alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. But when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, "Why this waste? For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor." But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, "Why do you trouble this woman? For she has done a good work for me. For you will always have the poor with you, but me you do not always have. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Father, we thank you so much for this day, for the testimony of your love for us and your mercy and your grace. Lord, for the testimony of those who have followed after you and have given their lives in love for you. And Lord, for those that have just given of themselves for their love for you. Father, I do pray and give thanks for all of the things that have made it possible for us to be here. And we thank you most of all for your mercy and your grace upon us. And be with us now, I ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. What a wonderful account this is. Jesus and his disciples had been traveling, and then they had come into Bethany, and they were sitting in this house. And if you read in the account that is, you know, the parallel account for this in John, you'll see that Lazarus was also there with them. And Lazarus was the one that Jesus had already risen from the dead. They're sitting at the table, and in comes this lady, this woman, and we will find that it was Mary who was the sister to Lazarus. And she pours this oil all over his head in honor of him, in love for him and who he was. And some of the disciples were very aggravated over this because, you know, perfume that expensive is not something you just pour out all at one time. And they began to fuss about it. "We could have sold this whole bottle and used the money to help feed the poor." And we see in another account that, you know, it's the cost was a 1 year's worth of wages. That's a lot of money, isn't it? I could see me now telling Jane, I'm going to go buy some cologne. I'm going to take out a 4 year's loan, you know, so I can pay for this over the next 10 years. I'm just going to pour it all out at one time. She'd be pretty upset with me, and I would understand that. But I would never be upset with her for doing something like that. I just want to throw that in. But here she has given so much of herself out of love and honor for Jesus. and someone is not happy with what she's done. We, you know, let me just say this. We should never be upset at what someone else gives in honor and in love for Jesus. No matter what we think the cost is or whether we might think it's a waste, if someone is giving out of their heart and giving it out of love and adoration of Jesus, God will use it. Even now, He's using what this lady did as a lesson for us in being a person who loves and acts in humility and acts in that love for Him as much as He has loved us. And this, He said, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Something to commemorate and to remember about her actions and her love. And the Bible, again, is filled with memorials. And I want to take a moment to talk to you about some of those memorials and what they mean to us. If you don't mind, I'll step back to the Old Testament. You know, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? But how many of you remember the Passover in Egypt? Because this is significant. The Lord had called Moses and Aaron to Him, and He had given them directions, and He said, this is going to be the beginning of months for you. So they're structuring their calendar, and this is going to be the beginning of months. Whatever it used to be, it's not that anymore. Now it's going to be this month. And He said, I want you to take a lamb, a lamb for each of the families. And if the family's not big enough for a whole lamb, then share one with your neighbor. But you can take a lamb without blemish, whether it's of the sheep or of the goats. It doesn't matter. But take this lamb on the 10th of the month. Take this lamb, set it apart, and for 4 days I want you to nourish and love and keep this lamb. And then on the 14th, I want you to kill it. And there was a reason for that. And the Lord said to Moses, this, what we're about to do is going to be done as a memorial for you throughout all of your generations so that you can remember your deliverance. But I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to tell him, this is about to take place because I am going to pass judgment on Pharaoh and all of the gods of Egypt, and their firstborn shall die in the house of Pharaoh, even in the servants of Pharaoh, among the people and among the livestock. The firstborn will die. At about midnight on the 14th, He said, it's going to happen. You tell Pharaoh. And God hardened his heart. He wouldn't listen. They had already been 9 plagues, and Pharaoh wouldn't listen, and God just kept hardening his heart. You know, that's a place we never want to be, where our hearts are hardened against God. Because God, when He starts hardening our hearts like that, He will show us His glory. But it'll be in such a way that we will be sorely regretful of her. It's not something we will want to have to face. Egypt was about to face it. He said, I want you to kill this lamb, and I want you to place the blood on the doors and on the lintels of your house, so that when I come through Egypt that night, I will know the difference between you and the Egyptians. Because God makes a difference. He distinguishes a difference between the Egyptians and the people of Israel. And the difference was the blood. It wasn't the color of their hair. It wasn't their skin color. It wasn't anything of their nationality. You know what distinguished them that night? The Jews from the Egyptians? It was the blood on the doors and on the lintels. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass you by. But where there is no blood, I will enter in and I will kill the firstborn in the house. And there will be a great cry in the land. And when this is all said and done, it will be a memorial to you of my deliverance. So when you're sacrificing that lamb and you're cooking that lamb, be sure to eat it with your belt on and your sandals on, because it's going to be time to go. He said, it's going to be time to go. Now, most of us, we eat a big meal overnight like that. We're ready to take a nap. Some of you will experience that this afternoon. But God said to Moses, you tell the people to be ready, to leave in haste, in a moment's notice. Because I am going to show these people who I am in a way that they've not experienced even to this point. Through all of the plagues, this is going to be the one that is going to set it apart, is going to break Pharaoh. And a great cry went out through all the land. And the next day, the people of Israel were freed and they left. And the Egyptians were giving them gold and silver and cloth and all manner of things just to usher them out. And it's still celebrated as a memorial to God's deliverance of His people. Even today, the Jews recognize the Passover. We recognize the Passover, not in the same way, but in celebration of God's love for His people, and not through that Passover in Egypt, but as the shadowing, the foreshadowing of the Passover that we celebrate in Christ, which is a memorial unto Him and His sacrifice. You remember the Lord's Supper? The nation celebrated with a lamb, but His people celebrate now through the breaking of His body and the spilling of His blood. He sat there with His disciples. You remember that? The night of the betrayal. Sat there with His disciples, had a meal. They were all gathered around Judas, who was going to leave and then lead the troops up to capture Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before all of that took place, Jesus said, I want you to do this. I have longed to have this meal with you, and I'm going to have it this one last time. But as we celebrate this meal, I want you to remember, do this in remembrance of me. This is a memorial. The bread which is my body and is broken for you, do it in remembrance of me. And the cup, when you drink of the cup, do this in remembrance of me. This is the new covenant that I have with you through my blood. How wonderful is that? That we have a memorial such as this that we can celebrate and do this in remembrance of Him. And still hear those words from the cross, Father, forgive them, because they don't know what they are doing. We can hear those words echo in our minds, but in our hearts and in the fullness of everything, we hear this even more. This is my body which is broken from you, and this is my blood which is the new covenant that I have with you, so that you can be free from sin, and the chains be broken, and you can celebrate in joy life eternal in me. Because I live, you can live. We're not just being set free in the world. You know, the Jews, when they were freed from Egypt, they were set free in the world, and it didn't take long for the world to come chasing after them again, did it? Even old Pharaoh, hardened as he was, broken as he was, mad as he was, it just spurred him on, and he got his armies together and he chased after them. And they chased after them to their ruin. Chased after them to the ruin. You know, the world will never have victory over God's people. Not coming out of Egypt, certainly not coming out of this world and entering into the heavenly place that God has prepared for His people. And there's a difference. God said He will return. And when He comes back at the sound of a trumpet, when He comes back, Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet, we shall be changed. And there we shall meet Him in the sky. And those that have gone before us, we shall all be together. And we will all be changed. That's a moment of happiness, y'all. But you know what's going to be the distinguishing factor, the thing that God is going to recognize that brings us up in that moment, that twinkling of an eye? It's going to be the blood of Jesus Christ. We have covered ourselves in the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins and for the healing of our souls, so that our hearts can be filled with the joy of life eternal. But the world, you see, this time when we're taken out, the world's not going to be able to chase after us. It will face that time of wrath. It's not something that we want to face. It's not something we want to have to endure. And I'm telling you today, God will make a difference between those who are His and those who are of the world. And if you are His, when the trumpet sounds, you will see Him and be like Him. No more wanting it to be, it will be. But you must be covered in the blood, or there will be a great cry. A great cry for those that are left behind. A time of terrible things. Horrible things. Destruction and wars and hatred and famine and a world gone mad in a place where someone will step up and say, but I can put this right, and pretend to be God in the flesh, and people will celebrate and rejoice because their Savior has arrived. And yet it is destruction that has veiled itself and has now perched on their shoulders, never to fly from them again. What a terrible day that will be. And we have these memorials in Scripture, throughout all of Scripture, this memorial of a woman's love for Christ. The memorial of God's remembrance of His people and His deliverance of His people in the past and what is still yet to come. We also have memorials to those that are martyrs. How many of you have ever heard that term, martyr? You remember Stephen, after Christ had risen and ascended, Stephen was given the testimony to the Sanhedrin, and he said, oh, you of uncircumcised hearts and ears, you will not listen. Your fathers, what did they do to the prophets before? Now you do the same things just as your fathers. And they were getting angry. Stephen was surrounded, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And he looked and he said, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they killed him. Right there, they killed him. They stoned him to death. You know his words before he died? Father, don't hold this sin against them. But this is a testimony of Stephen and how he was sharing with his own people their blindness to God and their unwillingness to receive what God had given. The same as their fathers had persecuted the prophets, they persecuted the Son of God. They had him right there with them, and they didn't want him that way. They wanted it differently. The world wants God to be what they want him to be. They want God to give them things the way they think he should give it to them. They want God to make their lives what they think their lives should be. Everybody wants God to be molded after their idea of who he is and how he should be and what goes on in their life. Yet God says, my ways are higher than your ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And we might not be able to understand God in his fullness, but we ought to be able to understand this. God loves us. And he has given his Son for us so that we can live and celebrate, enjoy eternal life that is yet to come. There's going to be trouble in this world. We know that. There will be wars and rumors of wars. That's why we have memorials to those who have fallen to help protect our nation. But the greatest memorial that we should have in our life is that of God's Son, Jesus Christ, who has loved us and given all for us. For everyone who will come. And see, this is what's interesting to me. We have martyrs like Stephen who stand boldly and die for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I think of another martyr. I can't remember his name, but it's not the name that needs to be remembered. It's the words that we need to hear. As he was being marched out to be burned alive, and as the flames were rising up around him, the last words recorded from this man was this, "Now I am worthy to be called a Christian." As he died, burned alive. But these are all words from people that have followed after Christ. After he had already ascended, the words of Stephen, the words of this other martyr that I have mentioned. What is really different to me is that Mary, when she poured the oil out, Jesus was still there. She still loved him to the fullest in his presence while he was among them and poured out all of this oil. And this is the memorial that she loved him because she already saw him in his glory. We're all following afterwards and we see him in his glory even now. And we can give testimony. But we ought to be looking to show the glory of God as if he's standing right here with us every day. We ought to be ready to pour out the oil of our life upon Jesus and upon our neighbor because of the love that he has given every day of our life, living differently because he is still with us. His Spirit sealing us for the day of redemption. This is not just something that I hope for. This is something that is done because I am redeemed and I am sanctified and I am glorified and all of these things are done in Christ. We're still living out part of it. Redemption, we know. Sanctification, well, we have a hard time with some of that though, don't we? Having to get it right. Having to fix it after we got it wrong. Until we get to that day when we're glorified. What a wonderful day that will be. You know, we have memorials here to remind us of special events and of special people. We have documents that tell us of things that are magnificent that people have done and how they have overcome and suffered for others. But I'm telling you today, there is no greater memorial than this of Jesus Christ. Loving Him for what He has done to save us from sin. Thank God for all of the blessings that you have in your life through the sacrifices of those who have come and gone before us. But remember this, Jesus sacrificed and is still with us. And we need to remember it. And we need to honor that. Every day. Wake up with the trumpet sounding. Wake up with the bands just playing. Wake up with a song of celebration. Wake up with joy. Wake up with happiness and laughter, knowing that God is with you in this day. And if you want to have a cookout, don't forget to invite Him and give thanks for the food when it's time to eat. We should never forget our Lord and our Savior in anything, every day, and every way. Remember the greatest sacrifice that was ever given and celebrate it, unless you don't know how. You might not know how to celebrate Jesus because you don't know Him as Lord and Savior. And if that's so, why? Why don't you know Him? You've been told. You've been given testimonies about and of. Is it something you're just still uncertain of, not sure how to reach and find? Well, ask and we'll help. Begin with God. Lord, I need to know. I need to understand. If you can ask, He can answer. If you need help just getting to the altar, He's given us to walk with you. So you've got wisdom and strength, all of it here. And I'm inviting you to come because Christ loves you and has called for you to come. Will you come and find forgiveness and life in Him today while there's time? While there's time. Father, I thank You so much again for this day, and I thank You that we can call upon You every day. We can remember Your goodness and Your mercies in every day. And Father, we thank You that we can celebrate every day in You. I pray, Father, fill our hearts with joy and with remembrance of loved ones and of You. And Father, if there is one who has not found peace and forgiveness, I pray, soften their heart and open it to receive You as Lord and Savior. And I ask it to Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you come while the altar is open?